91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
All right, everybody. This is going to be a little bit shorter than you would expect for us talking about the Weird Al Yankovic movie that came out. Weird, the Al Yank story. But realistically, in like 2 to 3 years, we're going to have to dedicate a full episode to this anyway. So this is like our at the peak of everybody loving this movie thoughts. And then, you know, we'll see. Maybe our feelings change in 2 or 3 years when we look back on it. But
I guess that, Matt, yeah, that's true. It could happen. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt, you just recently watched this because you were on this thing called a tour when this bad boy dropped.
I finished watching the movie seconds ago.
I dove immediately that Friday. Was like, what can I put aside for an hour and a half just so I can make sure that I can watch this movie today?
And yeah, it almost broke my heart because I really didn't. I was on tour and I wanted to watch it like immediately. And it's just not the greatest environment to watch it. I didn't have like reliable enough internet on the bus. And I was like, I want to watch this like properly for real. And so I just got home. I finally like got settled enough and I sat and watched it. And now here we are. So it's very, very fresh in my brain. I'm ready to go.
So, I mean, we'll just start first. I loved it.
I mean, it was great because it was like, I mean, obviously we should say from the jump here, there will be some spoilers for this movie. If you have not seen it yet and you want to be surprised, then consider watching it before you listen to us talk about it. But I loved it. I felt like it was, there were moments actually that seemed like more, like less goofy than I expected. And anytime I had a moment, I was like, oh, this is starting to just seem like a thing. Then they kept getting it further and further off the rails as it went along, which I loved so much. It just got 100%. Crazier and crazier.
So if we're going to do some call outs, though, going to do a couple call outs, one big call out to the casting of all of Al's bandmates, but specifically Spencer Treat Clark, who looks so much like a young Steve J that it is almost frightening in this movie. Like
they all were really, really well cast. I actually thought the guy playing Jim West also looked fantastic.
Yeah. Like they nailed it with these.
Yeah,
with these
they
actors.
Really did. They really did.
And then just the celebrity cameos. Like,
I was going to say, we could have an entire, full episode dedicated just to the Dr. Demento pool party.
It's chaos.
Everybody in that scene was so good. And it was so all of the right people, all of the right, like, counterculture weirdo artists of that time period, from Tiny Tim to Pee Wee Herman to Alice Cooper to Frank Zappa to
Gallagher was there.
Gallagher.
Nina West playing Divine was
Divine.
It's all so good. Like, that scene's incredible.
Yeah.
And then there's like the really weird ones, right? Like Josh Groban just showing up as a waiter, or like Lin-Manuel Miranda playing an ER doctor for like a millisecond.
Lin-Manuel is like the first person other than Daniel Radcliffe you see in the movie. Which is hilarious. I loved Thomas Lennon as the accordion salesman.
So good.
Excellent. Excellent also, cameo.
It took me almost halfway through the movie to realize, oh shit, the actor playing Al's dad is Artie the Strongest Man in the World from Pete and Pete. Like
I only knew that because someone told me in advance. They were like, do you recognize this actor's name? And I didn't. And then that is wild.
That is weirdly a perfect casting there. The big one that I have to call out though, and it is at that pool party. And like you said, you could do a whole episode just.
Oh my God. I loved it so much.
But Jack Black playing Wolfman Jack is so good. I will be saying the Wolfman goes where the Wolfman wants to, like all the time now.
Man, it was great. And I'm going to forget, I made a note of it and I can't remember the actor's name who played, who played John Deacon from Queen.
Oh yeah. David, oh my God, I can't think of his full name, but yes, he's from like Ant-Man and What If.
He's in a lot of stuff. Yeah. He's just a great character actor. I also loved Conan O'Brien playing Andy Warhol and Emo Phillips playing Salvador Dali and making those two like the weird friends who are just hanging out at this point. There were some people in that scene who I didn't recognize, but, I feel like we could pull that apart and try to identify every.
The Wikipedia page is like ever changing.
Is it really?
like when I watched this movie Friday and checked the Wikipedia page, there were like there were just, now I'm looking and more names have been added. Like it's like as more people watch this movie, they're like, oh shit, there's someone else. Like it really feels like they're just like letting people figure it out themselves and update the page.
Oh God,
in real time.
I love that.
Which is great. Like, I think that's super fun. Julianne Nicholson just absolutely crushing it as the mom, as Al's
so
mom in
good.
This movie. Her line, the first big laugh in this movie for me is that first dinner sequence, or they're sitting down at dinner, and I can't remember the exact line because it's been a couple days. But she says something like, "We love you, honey. We just want you to give up all of your hopes and dreams."
Yeah. Your father and I had a talk and we decided it's best if you stop being who you really are. It's such a great line. It's such a great line. Everything about that dinner scene. I also loved the father just describing his coworker getting killed at the factory and then being like, "So there's an opening at the factory if you're looking for some work, son."
Yeah, so this is the weird thing that we live now where like everything is streaming on everything.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what this movie's rated. Like I have no clue because
that's
like
a good point. I don't know.
Because like it's like Al's stuff, right? Like it is squeaky clean. There are no curses to be found.
There's no profanity, but there is some blood.
There is some blood, and then there is some real like, when you just look one layer deeper, some real adult stuff.
Oh yes.
Hidden in there. Yeah. You know I mean, like it's a perfect representation of Al's sense of humor rolled into one, which is like, there's no cursing. So people are like, oh, it's squeaky clean. And then you really like just take a peek behind the curtain on some of the dialogue. And it's like, it's really graphic. It's sometimes got like a slight sexual tone to it. Like I assume PG-13, but if you told me this was PG,
it seems like PG-13, although I'm actually, you know, looking at, I don't see a rating.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think.
Oh, you know what? Because it's Roku, I think they didn't go through the MPAA. The best I can see is on IMDb, they say it is TV-14, which is a television rating and not an MPAA rating. But that still would follow your.
Yeah, PG-13. It's also worth noting that there is an original Al song in the closing credits that is actually factually inaccurate. Because he says in the song, this song is available for Oscar nomination, and that actually ended up not being the case. Apparently, Al was begging them to let him just do a week in any LA theater so that the film could be eligible, and Roku said no. Which I guess I understand. This is I'm not sure about you, but every commercial break was just a commercial about what else I could be watching on the Roku channel. So they are.
Yeah, they're really using this to promote their own network. I mean, and I think it's probably worked. I can't imagine how much they must have gotten a lot of views on this from what I've seen. But Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, you'd think that I guess I understand, but it does feel very short-sighted to me to not give this, you know, a chance to get
especially
those sorts of
it
nominations.
It just has to play in an LA theater. It's not like you have to put it in a bunch of theaters where like the other, honestly, the other 50 states, it's just one city.
People do it all the time. It's like Netflix does that with their movies all the time. Like, and some of them actually pop up in New York as well, just for like small runs of screening so that they can become eligible. I don't totally get why they were not
such a
into doing that, but
decision. But yeah, because I bet I mean, who knows? But like, I can't think of any memorable song from a movie this year. So he's got as good of a chance as anybody.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
To win that Oscar for best original song. This has not been, I'm just throwing this out there, this has not been exactly the greatest year of cinema for me. Like, I'm like, I don't think any, this has been one of the biggest standout films that I've watched all year, because there's been a lot of stuff that was good, but there was nothing where I was like, oh, that's the movie of the year. You know
what
I mean?
That's a good point. I don't know what I would, I don't know what I would say. I'd have to really go back and look. I feel like I saw a few things that I was like super into, but it's been a little bit light, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, What are some of your favorite things that they twist it with real life facts?
I loved the. Well, I mean, okay. So one of the most funny weird things is just them insisting that Eat It is an Al original.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised that they did it, because I loved that they were building up to, like, there's a scene of Dr. Demento saying to Al, like, you can write original songs, you don't have to do parodies. And then I didn't know. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to show him writing Dare to Be Stupid or something. Like, I didn't know what the time jump was going to be. So then when he writes Eat It, and they really make a joke of it. Because now I'm jumping around a little bit, but I love that Al plays one of the Scotty brothers.
Yes. Oh, it's fantastic.
We've talked about this in passing on and off throughout this, but Al's relationship with the Scotty brothers was not great.
Yeah.
And so him and Will Forte playing the horrible douchey record label executives who initially turn him down, and then he plays them Eat It, and they're just like, this is the greatest song anyone's ever done in history.
Yeah.
And him having to explain, he's like, they're like, so wait a minute, you wrote the music and the lyrics, you, all by yourself, completely you. He's like, yeah, of course I did. I'm Weird Al, and I wrote Eat It all by myself.
Well, the thing that's really funny to me about that was that at first I thought, okay, they're doing this so they don't even have to address the Michael Jackson.
That's what I thought too.
And then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, Michael Jackson has parodied Eat It into his song.
What a bizarre spin on it. Like, I did not see that coming at all. I thought the same as you. I was like, oh, they don't want to talk about Michael.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it like it's an original. And then they even later on allude to another one of my laugh out loud moment, the allusion to fat.
Yes.
Where later on, Al's mom has gained some weight.
She just
goes, sitting at the dinner
table.
Fat,
I know,
like,
it.
I'm fat. You know it. And both her and the husband like look at Al with like a winky, like, huh? And Al just does not get it at all.
Well, I also like that they have completely bent time into a bizarre world where in 1985, Al Yankovic is performing Amish Paradise for Coolio
in front of Coolio, which also they kind of imply that Amish Paradise is also just a straight original song.
Yeah. Original written from his dad.
Written by his father when he was Amish. Crazy. And then if we're talking about real spoilers for the movie here, the big spoiler is after Al performs Amish Paradise in 1985 for a hilarious scrolling across the audience to just see someone who looks like Coolio looking furious. Everyone's enjoying it, and this one guy with the hair like Coolio is just mad. Then Al is murdered.
Yeah, assassinated by an angry Madonna who is now taken over Pablo Escobar's drug.
Madonna runs Pablo Escobar's drug cartel and hires a hitman to kill Weird Al as he is accepting, I guess, a Grammy award. I mean, did they even say what the award was?
I think it's a Grammy for, do you remember what the full category is? I know like the approximate version
of it,
but it's like best accordion player in a non-polka but otherwise very specific
otherwise very niche genre. And it was like they even were like, not quite the best but definitely very good.
It's so good. It's so funny. And I love not only that this is the category that he's in, but he still gets his dig at Prince in there because Prince is who he's up against in the category. And you see Prince get pissed off and storm away when he loses. Like,
exactly. Yeah. No, Al's still not over the Prince thing.
No. And that's the stuff where it's like, that's kind of funny. If you're like just a casual Al Yankovic fan watching this movie out of curiosity, it is extra funny if you are just a diehard list that knows
that full story. It's hilarious. I mean, the Madonna basically bullying him into writing like a surgeon is in there, which I loved. Yes, exactly. And that's the other another funny thing. We talked about how Al's debut record in real life was not very successful. It did okay, but not great. Of course, in this movie, it is like the best-selling album of all time.
Of all time.
5 times platinum. So much so that he wears his platinum records around his neck at all times. Oh my God. So then all these other people are talking about the Weird Al bump. And that's what Madonna comes in for. Yeah, it is a thing.
It is a real thing. Like, I think both Nirvana and Chamillionaire have said, like, if Al didn't release his parody, they were like, Al can account for like at least 1 million extra records sold on both of those artists.
It's crazy.
Because it was like, you could see in the chart that the song dipped in popularity and then the Weird Al parody came out and it like bumped the song back up again.
Yeah.
That's like one of the only non-made up things in the whole movie.
Yes, but Madonna truly using him to get the Al, but then, giving up. Like, once she gets her parody, then she actually moves on to just run a drug cartel. Another one of the scenes that I laughed at the most in the movie is like, as Al is walking away from Madonna, who is now taken over for Pablo Escobar, she is just trying to shoot him as he leaves, and her aim is so bad. She's just missing at every angle. At one point, it's like almost point blank, and he's just slowly walking away, and she's just missing every shot.
That's really good. And also, we do have to shout out, I mean, Evan Rachel Wood just crushing it as Madonna in this. Everyone does. Daniel Radcliffe, absolutely fantastic. There's not bad.
I have to say, there was a moment early on when this got announced. I was excited when they cast Daniel Radcliffe for it. I thought that was a good idea. But I remember they posted a photo somewhere online, and it was one of those like very clickbaity headlines, and it was like, Daniel Radcliffe unrecognizable as Weird Al. And I was like, I wouldn't go that far. Radcliffe with a wig and glasses. But in this role, like playing him, there were multiple shots, like as they're doing as he's making videos and singing and I was like, wow, he actually really does look great and sounded great. He played it really well. It was just the right amount of, I liked the fact, again, as absurd and off the rails and insane as it got, it was still not that, they did a nice job of, at least throughout the movie, it wasn't fully like Walk Hard, over the top parody in spots. There were moments that got to that level, but it wasn't so incredibly obvious that it was a parody, at least in bits.
Yeah, no, I mean, it follows to a certain, I think it does a good job of just ramping up too. You know what I mean?
It like, ramps up very well. Yeah.
Like it's not like, cause even my friend texted me at one point and was like, I don't know if I'm feeling this. And my Bologna scene happened. He's like, okay, I'm in. Because the first like 5-10 minutes of the movie, while it's still absurd, it's like, okay, this could have happened to a certain extent. Like the underground high school polka party scenes and stuff like that.
There's moments where you're just like, the underground polka party, arrested for attending a polka party. Also, shout out like, Scott Aukerman as the police officer.
There's a lot of like, hey, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. And like, obviously, like Scott Aukerman, I'm not sure if you caught, I didn't catch it until she shared it on Instagram, but Allie Gertz is sitting directly behind Al at the Grammys Awards.
Oh, sequence. I did not catch that.
like she is literally, it's Al's wife, and right in between them is Allie Gertz.
That's amazing.
So there's a ton of those, and I'm sure that there's even more that if you dig around in that, you'll find, because it's not like this was I mean, it was a budget of $8 million, and I mean, that's pretty low for how ambitious this movie is.
Yeah, there was
is.
A lot going on in this. It had, you know, animation sequences, and it was big. I'm sure most of the actors who were in it, most of these people had relatively small roles that were probably fairly quickly put together. It definitely seemed like these people who were in it were there because they really wanted to be, which is always nice to see.
So this is the thing I saw on a wiki. It says that because of the filming in Los Angeles, Yankovic was able to reach out to his holiday card mailing list to bring in numerous celebrities to cameo in the film, mostly during the Dr. Demento party scene. Apparently, the script called for Al to be challenged by Freddie Mercury at the pool party, but the band had asked not to mention Freddie Mercury for that. Because originally the Lonely Island was going to play the rest of the band. And then when Andy Samberg wasn't actually available to film, that's why it's just two of the three members playing Alice Cooper and Pee Wee Herman. And then it also says that Lin-Manuel Miranda contacted Al Yankovic within minutes of the announcement that the film was going into production, asking to be a part of it in some way. Yankovic was able to fit the cameo as an ER doctor into the filming during a weekend that Miranda was in Los Angeles.
That's hilarious.
But I mean, it's scrappy. You know what I mean? Like, this is.
So, wait, I just want to clarify a previous point. So Queen didn't want Freddie mentioned. Is that what it was?
So it says, terms of Yankovic's agreement with the band Queen for Another One Rides the Bus is that Yankovic could not mention Mercury.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knows? That's wow. I don't have time to get into that. I'm fascinated by that. I mean,
it makes sense though. It makes more sense for John Deacon to be the one that's there since he wrote the song. Anyway.
John Deacon wrote the song, and it does set up a great joke where I loved how he emerges from the crowd. He was like, "I'm John Deacon," and everyone's like, "What?"
Yeah.
And he's like from arguably, Queen, and everyone's still like, "What?" And he's like, I'm the bass player from Queen, and they're like, "Oh, that explains why we don't know who you
Queen
are."
Member for sure. And then, yeah, like it is just this very, it's just also funny. And he offers Al an opportunity to open for them at Live Aid in Wembley Stadium.
And Al's like, "I'd be honored." Psych.
it's so good. This is truly like. Like you said, I would put this above Walk Hard. And I know that that's like,
I think I would too. I think, like, I really enjoyed Walk Hard. This had a really, I loved the tonal balance that they hit with this. I really did. I thought they did a great job of like hitting the marks while also being ridiculous, but not too over the top. I don't know. It just sat in that right sweet spot for me where I was, I constantly waiting to see how they were going to elevate it next. It was the slow ride up to the top, you
for
know,
sure,
of the assassination of Al,
which I mean the tribute photos at the end.
I would say truly at the end, yeah, that was a brilliant move to make it the montage of like in memoriam of the actual photos of Al growing up with his family.
With the Carrie parody stinger at the very end of the zombified Weird Al bursting out of the grave at Madonna.
Yeah.
Well. We're going to wrap it up here. Obviously, like I said, hey, stay tuned. Keep subscribing to the Weird Algorithm episode and see if our unanimous overwhelming praise for this movie has changed over 2 or 3 years of deep diving into this. But is there anything that we didn't tackle that you want to make sure we give a quick shout out to with this?
I got to shout out Hey Boy. One of my other favorite cameos of the movie was Hey Boy in there. Loved Hey Boy. Loved seeing Hey Boy a few times. That made me laugh every time. I liked just a couple other cameos because they made me so happy. Was, again, we said Conan. Yorma Taccone as Pee Wee Herman and Akiva Schaffer as Alice Cooper. Dimitri Martin in there playing Tiny Tim. Patton Oswalt, who originally was Dr. Demento in the short, pops up as a heckler in the bar with that punk band who also didn't want to hire Al to play accordion. I forgot the name of that band now, but that was also Skunk Barf.
They were
Of course it was Skunk Barf.
Paul F. Tompkins was Gallagher in the pool party scene.
And the other crazy one, the MC at the punk club was Michael McKeon.
And then apparently, according to Wiki, I would have to rewatch to catch this, but Seth Green voices the radio DJ that plays My Bologna.
Yes.
When he drops it off in the mailbox. So. Yes.
Oh, and another funny, just we can end it on this. Like one of my favorite, the first moment I think I really super laughed out loud was when Al puts the tape in the mail and he's like, this is it. I just got to sit here and wait to become famous. And the bandmates are like, Al, you can't just sit back and wait to be famous. That's not how this works. You're going to have to like keep working really hard. And Al turns on the radio and they're like, all right, we're about to play the number one most requested song ever. And it's by Weird Al. I loved that. Like, that's a great, like, I don't know, as someone who like the oversimplification of making it in music, like that side of the story, that cracked me up so much. I thought that was great.
Yeah. The real version of that story is like you put out a song. It does pretty decently. It gives you an ability to tour. And then 30 years later, an app that you didn't know existed when you wrote that song turns your one song into a massive challenge for 3 months.
No, it was it was just so funny. No, I loved it. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you got to at least check this out. It's definitely, it's not a typical biopic, but you know, would we have really wanted that about Al? I don't think I would have. I think this is so much more fulfilling and satisfying. And as we said, he has basically turned his own biopic into a parody of the biopic itself. He's doing a parody of this entire type of movie, and it's fantastic. It's so smart, and it's great. And yeah, watch it. And I it seems too late now. I really hope that he could get it in theaters for a little bit. I hope this gets a physical release in some way, because as we've said before, it's in a living only on the Roku channel is somewhat frightening.
Was going to get a physical release, so I'm hoping
there's a vinyl
soundtrack is going to come out. Like, then we should get it, because I want commentary tracks, I want
behind all the scenes
stuff, all of it. I want
totally.
Real quick, because the next time you and I sit down to record, that episode will not be coming out until Christmas. So, is there anything in the touring world of Matt Milligan that you want to quickly quote, since you won't have a chance to do?
I'm doing, and actually thank you for that segue, Matt. I just finished a run of shows with Wheatus, and I'm doing every Sunday in Brooklyn with Mike Doty in November. I just did the first one. We have three more. While out with Wheatus, and also at the Mike Doty show that I just played, multiple people came up to me just to say how much they loved this podcast.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I cannot tell you, Matt did not know this. I'm telling him this for the first time.
No, this is amazing.
I cannot tell you guys how cool that is for me to hear. Truly, truly, truly. Thank you so much. Please, if you come see me at a show, bother me and tell me that. You will make my night every time. I was blown away by hearing that on multiple occasions. So thank you very much.
So much.
And shows with Mike Doty, and there's more with Wheatus next year, but that's actually like January and beyond. That's about it for now. But yeah, no, again, thank you so much to people who listen to this show, and it remains such a joy.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Thank you so much for telling me that. That's put a smile on my face.
I know.
All right, guys, we'll be back to our regular release schedule on Friday with Slime Creatures from Outer Space. So stay tuned.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and the practical effects. And also the male gaze.
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.